It's my understanding there's a meeting coming up tonight at the Hyatt in downtown Jacksonville. What's going to be happening?
Tonight we're going to be talking about short-term and long-term visions for downtown Jacksonville, which is very, very important to our CRA plan, redevelopment plan. It's very important to develop your business investment development strategy for downtown. I know people will say, well, Jacksonville's been planned to death. One of the things that we need to really do is begin to start talking about investment strategies. That's the most critical, important point. How do we get investment? How do we get dollars into these particular projects in downtown? But we have to talk about what the projects are going to be. We have to have the projects in the actual plan. If they are not, it's going to be very difficult for us, for the Downtown Investment Authority, to work on those particular projects based upon the actual statutes, state statutes that require us for community redevelopment agencies itself. So you have to tell us what you want to see have happen, and that all starts tonight for the public.
So this, Terry Lawrence, this public input, you see this as pretty important.
It really is important. This is going to really gauge where investment will be having and developing a plan for the next 10 years. So, you know, people may talk about downtown. They say, how can we help downtown? This is what we need to do.
Okay, and the lines are already jammed right now at 549-2937 as we speak with two of the top spokespeople for improving downtown Jacksonville, Andra Wallace, CEO of the new DIA, and Terry Lawrence, Executive Director of Downtown Vision, Inc. Andra Wallace, lots of curiosity about your leadership of this newly formed organization and lots of excitement. For those who aren't familiar with your background, share a little bit about what drew you to Jacksonville, if you could.
Well, drew me to Jacksonville primarily is, number one, the opportunity and the potential that is actually exists. Someone who's been doing community economic development for over 20-plus years, you look at what's there to actually begin to jumpstart doing actual work itself. When I looked around Jacksonville and began to make a career choice, a career decision, the potential is there. Now, with the potential projects that are there, now you have to attract the right investments to basically come into these particular projects and move them forward. Jacksonville has all the potential in the world. Where else can you find very good waterfront property that you have an opportunity to actually develop? And where is the energy and demand that is there? The energy is here in Jacksonville. I've been feeling it for all the 60 days that I've been here, so it's actually been a great opportunity for me to take on this particular challenge. And I do startups, so this is the third time I've started up.
Where else have you done it?
I've done it in Miami, and I've also done it in Detroit.
And so did you see similar obstacles in those cities, or is this a different kettle of fish?
Every city is different in terms of what lies ahead of you. What's interesting here is, number one, here's the opportunity started from the ground up again. The demand is there. One of the things that people have told me since I've been here, we've been waiting on your leadership to get here. So now that I'm here, building the organization, building the infrastructure from the ground up has been very important.
Terry Lawrence, would you agree that a focused effort is needed with a strong leader?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We've had a lot of changes over the last 12 years since I've been in town. So clearly the new Downtown Investment Authority and Andra's energy and insight is very welcome.
And when you talked about certain projects needing key investment, Andra, which projects are you most jazzed about?
It's just various projects. This really depends. I mean, the old Hayden Burns Library is a very good project. I'm very impressed with the Jesse Ball DuPont Foundation and their particular investments that they're going to be making to that particular project itself. Also looking at an opportunity to work with the Landing leadership, also working on the various Laurel Street Trio projects that are out there as well. These particular key particular projects for downtown, in my professional opinion, as well as with Hemming Plaza, will basically set us apart.
Let me ask you, too, about some of the political obstacles. There's been a reluctance to spend at the civic level on downtown. That's been a struggle off and on through the years. You've had some resignations from the DIA. Can you share with me your thoughts about political will in this city, both of you, when it comes to this issue, when it comes to downtown development?
Number one, the political will is there. You have to understand that this year was a very tough fiscal budget year for city council, for the administration. You're going to have to make some hard decisions, and I totally understand that because downtown is a neighborhood just like every other particular neighborhood itself. But in no way, shape, form, or fashion did I see that the political will was not there to actually support downtown. You just sometimes have to make some very hard choices from a priority standpoint. Dealing with resignations, none of the resignations, in my professional opinion, one particular resignation from the board, the person chose a professional career. He made a choice to leave Jacksonville. Had no impact, no bearing upon anything dealing with DIA itself.
And if I could just add, I don't think there has ever been a time that the public is so oriented towards seeing the development of downtown Jacksonville. The JAC's 2025 study that was done, community input over 12 months that was held, the number one issue that the community said, 14,000 people, what is the number one improvement you want to see occur in Jacksonville? Downtown was rated number one. So clearly, the community, it's almost our indicator of the success or the failure of the region. You know, why can't we get downtown right? So this time, we're going to get downtown right. And it starts with the plan, and it starts with community input, because this is your chance to say, here's what I think we need to do, and here's where we're going. And notice the time frame that ANDRA and the Downtown Investment Authority is really dealing with is to 2025. We're not talking a 50-year plan. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about the realities of, okay, guys, how much is it going to take to do what we need to do and focus the dollars where they need to be focused?
And there's a reason behind that. Real estate cycles go in pretty much 10 years. So when you begin to look at 2025, it's pretty much about 11 years. That gives us an opportunity for a decade to actually look at the investment and try and reassess exactly what we got right, what we need to improve, and where we need to go after that.
And a series of community meetings kicks off tonight as the city's new Downtown Investment Authority asks what you think about downtown improvements. Meanwhile, the lines are jammed this morning on First Coast Connect for ANDRA Wallace and Terry Lawrence. Lots of feedback on Twitter and Facebook, too. Lots of emails. Certainly a very hot topic today. Let's go to Josh in Jacksonville. He starts us off, the number 549-2937 to join the show. Hi, Josh. Good morning. All right, Josh, if you couldn't stay with us, try us back. George in Jacksonville. Hi, George. How are you today?
Good morning. How you doing?
All right, thanks.
Real quickly, 30 years ago, there was talk about an aquarium, and I think Tampa beat us to it. They built one. We need an aquarium, in my opinion. We need lower-cost parking in the evening. I would cut the cost of parking, light the garages better, have more police officers present, run around on bicycles. But I think the main thing is you have to get people with money living downtown. I would tax businesses within about a 2-mile radius of the core of downtown. Use that to subsidize people to move into the condominiums and the lofts. And then somehow that money would go back to the businesses from the money that they would spend in that area. You got to get people downtown that can spend money to keep those businesses going. And I think the only way you're going to get people downtown is to practically subsidize them to get them there and make the other improvements at the same time.
And that's George in Jacksonville. Hi, George, and thanks for the comments. ANDRA Wallace.
George, appreciate your comments. The comments you made with regards to the aquarium, one of the conversation pieces that we'll be talking about tonight is how do we basically deal with more water activity, more theme parks, et cetera, that can be discussed in the actual downtown itself. Parking, hear you loud and clear. Recognize that parking is a major component, parking transportation for downtown itself. Incentives, it's all going to be a real discussion about how do we generate the right type of incentives to induce development into downtown to produce the people traffic that George just talked about. But he's on point.
The idea of an aquarium keeps coming up.
Yes, and there's actually a group here in Jacksonville that started discussion about an aquarium. And clearly, again, the conversation needs to be at what level and what are the other options, because there are, and I'm sure ANDRA could speak to this, a lot of other ideas on the table for how do we bring more people down here. And I think the challenge is to think in a cost-effective way. How do you do that? Isn't it an aquarium? Is it doing 2 more art walk type events a month? And where do you get the most bang for the buck? And not just in terms of the aquarium, but what's going to leverage more private investment.
Nick on the north side. Hi, Nick. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. There's a kind of a myth involved in this whole downtown development story, and it's been going on for about 30 years now. And the reason we haven't seen much traction with it is because it's fueled by this false idea that the private sector will figure this out. The guy that was just on the phone a minute ago, all the suggestions he had involved spending the local community, spending money, whether it was tax incentives or whatever, extra police, so it was spending money, raising taxes, whatever it was, to make the downtown better. What I would suggest is that the city council stop worrying about putting money in their pockets and getting reelected, and allow no more of, I would suggest a building moratorium in all of Duval County, and then I would create tax incentives that brought people downtown to fix up these old buildings or develop these properties that are already in downtown, and literally force people to move downtown. And in other words, create the only new housing would be created in downtown, and that would fix the problem. Government is the only way, is the only thing with enough power to fix this problem, and we have to give up on this myth of the private sector will fix it. Thanks for taking my call.
Nick on the north side, thanks for the thoughts on that. Your response, guys.
With regards to developing downtowns, you have to have public-private partnerships. The government, the public sector, and the private sector have to come together to actually address these particular challenges and issues. I agree with them 100% that it has to be a public-private partnership on that. That's how it's been done in almost every other city that I've actually worked in.
Agree.
You agree. Let's go to Chris in Jacksonville. Lots of calls on this topic. Thanks, everyone, for holding. We'll try to get to you as we go through the queue. Hi, Chris. Good morning. Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. I would suggest that if you talk to people throughout the country or at the international level, no one's going to be too impressed with the addition of 8 condominium buildings or, you know, 8 commercial buildings in Jacksonville. One way to get a lot of people into the downtown area, probably thousands every night throughout the week, would be to convert all of the waterfront land to artificial turf recreational fields. So you can have people playing, you know, flag football, soccer, all age ranges, you know, softball, t-ball, baseball. You could have the field booked every single night, all the weekends, and you'll bring in thousands of people to the downtown area to spend money at the local restaurants and in the shopping areas and the Jacksonville Landing, et cetera. So I'd like to hear, you know, your guests' comments on that, and hopefully that would bring a lot of revenue into the downtown area. And it probably is the cheapest price point and could be implemented this year rather than waiting another 20, 30 years for anything to get done.
Okay. Thanks for that, Chris.
Terry. If I may, I think that that question is exactly why these public hearings are being held tonight and tomorrow night, to get input on folks in terms of, with the over 100 acres of land that we have that are vacant on the Riverwalk, what do we want those uses to be? Are they all public? Are they all private? Are they a combination of public and private? And that's part of the conversation that we'll be having today, because I will tell you, my conversation with folks is all over the board right now that it needs to be private with a Riverwalk. It needs to be all public in a park or vice versa. There are terrific models out there that do all of these in other cities. We have to figure out what's right for downtown Jacksonville.
Andre.
Yes, I concur with Terry's statements. First and foremost, I want everyone to understand this is your plan. So you've got to give this particular input so that we can get it up on the whiteboard, and then we begin to talk about does it financially make sense.
So in that sense, it's sort of like the Jack's 2025 visioning process. You'll seek the community's input at a series of get-togethers and then come out with a visioning plan.
Right, but Andre can probably speak to that better than I can.
It's taking the public's input, but at the end of the day, I have to have an investment strategy for everything that we talk about. So that's why it's really critical to talk about the project. Okay, then when we talk about it, how do we actually get it financed? In my study of everything, of trying to prepare for interviews, et cetera, for this particular job, Jacksonville's not short on plans.
We've been planned to death. Okay. That's right, as you said, yeah.
But what we are short on is investment strategies. How do you create the right investment to get the developers to want to take on the projects, to get private equity into Jacksonville, to get the financial capital markets to want to make loans in downtown Jacksonville for various projects? That's what we got to have. That's what I'm really fixated upon.
How do we do that? What will be the strategy?
The strategy will be developed through these particular public forums to determine what the actual projects are and if they're actually feasible. When we determine that they're actually feasible, putting them in the plan, addressing various different types of incentives towards them to move these particular projects forward. Again, this is a decade. Okay, so it's going to take us time to get things moving. However, there are immediate things that we can actually get done and begin to see results. We have to in 2014.
And there's a community meeting tonight on the Downtown Investment Authority's plans for improving the city's urban core. It's at the Hyatt on the riverfront. And in the meantime, lots and lots of tweets. Let's get a few on the air from Kingsley. Getting people easily and cheaply in and out of downtown is a start. Since transportation is a wreck, jacksconnector.com is a great start promoting that new service. I believe that runs from the beaches to downtown. Terry Lawrence is right, says Jax 2025. Our community lists downtown improvement as a top goal for the next 10 or 12 years. Here's a tweet from Ben. Downtown Jacksonville would do better if we had someone under 35 in one of the leadership positions. Rachel tweets the show, what about hotels or food by the convention center? Paul says, install rain collection systems on public buildings for water landscaping. Offer small rebates for residential rainwater. The Urban Core, please mention Art Walk is this Wednesday, celebrating 10 years. Thanks for that. David tweets the show, a parking garage for the landing, a gas station, define the boundaries of downtown, more police, move the homeless out, expand the people mover. He's talking, of course, about the Skyway. So much feedback. Robert on our Facebook page, downtown needs more street-level shops and restaurants. Too many office buildings and high-rise condos on the South Bank have lifeless, windswept plazas with little interest to draw pedestrians in. We need street-level retail. I'm sure that's part of the mix, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, and let's go back to your calls and comments. John on the South Side, thanks for holding. John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you for taking my call, and good morning to your distinguished guest. River access is really the key, I believe, and alluding to what Chris was mentioning. Now, you look at Interstate 95, well, we have our river, and it's 310 miles long. And this new CRA boundary is from the Forlorn Bridge to the Matthews Bridge. So by creating little nodes, it could be as simple as another Mayor Brown kayak logo, just bringing USS Adams as a destination attraction. But to fund it, I would suggest using the existing, for example, 2009, 442. It's an artificial reef trust fund. In other words, when money is collected, theoretically $25,000, you could have the potential to build another artificial reef, which would be south of the Forlorn Bridge. By utilizing that concept, you can identify different projects, and when the funding is made available through public-private partnerships, you could move on and just go on to the next project.
John, thanks for the call.
John, I recognize your voice from my board meeting, so I'm glad to hear from you. John, I want you to understand that river access, water activities is something very critical to the conversation this evening as well as tomorrow evening. So we want to make sure that you're there to make sure that your voice is heard. But I hear you loud and clear today as well as all of our actual board meetings as well.
Calls from across the listening area. Let's go to Jeff in Arlington. Hello, Jeff. Good morning.
Good morning. I appreciate the opportunity to address this group, and I'm encouraged by what I hear. My suggestion is this. The key is the investment, and everybody's offering ideas, and that's good, except the people that are going to pay for it and make it happen are the ones that have to buy on. So here's my suggestion. You take an area of downtown, whatever you feel is most critical, a 10-block area bounded by whatever streets, however you designate an area that may need, like you say, critical care, then take the property tax rate currently, just lock it for 10 years, no matter what the owners of the property, even new owners, do. All improvements, enhancements will not increase the tax bill one penny for 10 years. Then after that, you know, it increases 10% a year like commercial property does. That will encourage whoever has a property or whoever might buy it to come in and really sink some money in it, and then they're going to determine what's best, whether it's access to the river, which is important, whether it's parking, which is important, whether it's green space, which is important. They're going to decide because they're going to be either renting or potentially selling or whatever they're going to be doing. They've got to get a return on their investment. So I think that without investing a dime in city money, you can get private entities to do this. And then the other flip side of it, it doesn't cost the city anything because whatever the tax bill is now for the properties in question, it's going to remain that same. The city gives up nothing, but it encourages this investment, and it will pick up a huge benefit in the future, not just the tax bill, but whatever spinoffs you've got construction going on, you've got restaurants feeding the people that come in there, all that stuff is a benefit that pays full tax rate.
All right, and that's Jeff.
And I'd like to get the email address so we could send suggestions if it's okay.
All right, thanks, Jeff, and we will get you that. Andre.
You want me to give my email address?
No, we'll put that on our, contact point on our website later today. But
not a problem.
Yeah.
With regards to the critical investment mass, I think what Jeff is really talking about is what we talk about in the industry. It's kind of created like an epicenter. You know, this is the designated area. This is where we're actually going to invest. We're going to make the targeted area somewhere within downtown. This is the area where we need to focus our investments on and drive development towards this particular area. Downtown is already a tax increment financing area, which is what he's actually talking about. How do we actually utilize those funds? The difficult thing right now is it's been a tax increment financing area for, you know, a couple of decades.
And
it's not really hasn't generated money right now. So we've got to make sure that the projects that are there, make sure those projects get off the books so we can start generating more money to then turn around and take that money and invest it into other projects. But yeah. Jeff is on point.
And an email from a listener referencing the past, how much public money has been spent in the last 30 years on this? For example, whatever happened to the shipyards project and all the public money that was invested in that? And then here's one on Twitter for you, Terry. They need a Latitude 30 or a Dave & Buster's type place downtown. Uber Jacks is a great addition for transportation. If you build it, they will come. Any thoughts on the push from Uber to come to the city, especially the urban core?
You know, I have to tell you, I had not heard of Uber until just recently when I was at a conference in New York City and everybody was abuzz about Uber and someone was showing me exactly how it looked while she waited for her cab to come and pick her up.
You call a cab from your smartphone.
So this is new to me, and I think it'll be new to Jacksonville to give it a shot. But regarding the questions of a Latitude 30 or any other facilities we need, again, I think that's where the conversation needs to be. Does downtown need to be an environment where we want to ensure that we have a lot of locals or standalones here? Do we need national chains? And what exactly do we need for the retail environment downtown? If you think about downtown today, we actually have two retail centers downtown today, the Landing and we have the Entertainment District. So our challenge is to figure out how do we make those better and what do we need to do to leverage additional retail activity? And again, getting back to the aquarium, what's it going to take to bring people down here?
And with all of that said, as we mentioned earlier in the hour, Andre Wallace, tonight kicks off a series of community forums and workshops. You really want the public to come out beginning tonight.
Yes. I really want the public to understand that this is your vision, your plan for Jacksonville. It's my job to implement the plan after it's done. It's my job to help guide the discussion, but I'm not going to tell somebody what should actually be in the plan. There are going to be things that we want to talk about, baseline parameters, but you've really got to have your input heard. We've got to understand it, and we've got to be able to basically catalog it and make a determination about whether or not this is something that's going to be attainable in the short term or the long term. Where does it actually fit? But if it's not discussed, it's going to be difficult for us to address it.
Well, just judging by the enormous feedback we got today, I think you will have a lot of energy behind this. Again, if you're just tuning in, the Downtown Investment Authority is holding a series of community forums. The first one is tonight. It begins at 6 p.m., the North Bank Community Forum at the Hyatt Regency Jacksonville Riverfront, and more workshops coming up later this week and next month. We'll have full details on our website later today. Come on out and make your voice heard. Terry Lawrence, your final thoughts.
And just to say that we have all of these on our website, which is downtownjacksonville.org. If people need to just follow up and find out when the meetings are.
Certainly, and full details on our website today as well. Terry Lawrence, Executive Director of Downtown Vision, Inc. Andre Wallace, CEO of the Downtown Investment Authority. A pleasure to have you both on the program. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having
us. Thanks, Melissa.